Well, God is patient and kind, gentle and loving, slow to anger, quick to laugh. God's love overflows the deepest sin. Be assured that when we repent of our sin, we are forgiven. Through faith in Christ Jesus, we're invited to share in everlasting life. Thanks be to God. Today, our readings from Scripture will come in the form of verses interspersed throughout the sermon. So pay attention or you might miss one. A blessing I've appreciated as long as I can remember is a gift of a sense of humor. Not that I can recite a slew of jokes at the drop of a hat, but often I'm able to see something curious or amusing in the juxtaposition of two unlikely elements. For instance, in a town we used to live in, there was a small medical office building shared by two very different practices, a gastroenterology clinic and an optometrist. The building's main road sign had a primary panel featuring the gastro clinic's name, and then below that was one of those message boards with the movable letters, which at the time advertised an offer by the optometrist. The primary sign displayed the rather indelicate name of the gastro practice, Community Rectal Clinic, and then the movable letters below spelled out the message, Free Eye Exam. And I remember thinking, that's a rather awkward path for getting your eyesight checked. Well, across the years, a wall in my office became the collection point for cartoons about various aspects of religion in general, and for being a minister in particular. And as I took them down a few weeks ago, it occurred to me that several of the drawings had scriptural truths or messages about this time of pastoral transition that might speak to you today. So let me describe a few of those cartoons for you. And for the first, let me introduce you to a character drawn by Doug Marlette in his comic strip Kudzu about a good old country preacher named the Reverend Will B. Dunn. In the first strip, as one of his parishioners greets her pastor at the door after the service, she says to him, "Preacher, have you ever thought about publishing a collection of your sermons?" Blushing, Reverend Dunn answers, "Why, no, Ms. DuBose, no, I haven't." As she walks away, she said, "Good." Now, I think of sermons and worship services as a whole being kind of like sandcastles. They're there to offer beauty, inspiration, perhaps an insight. Sermons and services are to be experienced and appreciated for a while. But then they're erased by the waves of time. We may remember a part of a worship experience. We might recall a particular image or comment. But for the most part, our week-by-week worship experience is fleeting. What remains is an impression. And we hope and pray that by our habit of worshiping weekly, we're being shaped more and more into the image of Christ, as we hear in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that anyone who is joined to Christ is a new being. The old is gone, the new has come. Another comic strip featuring the Reverend Will B. Dunn. He's in the midst of something that we're all familiar with, a stewardship campaign. Referencing a verse in 2 Corinthians, the preacher says to one of his parishioners, "Now remember, Brother Tadsworth, the Lord loves a cheerful giver." "Oh, all right," he responds. "I don't like it, but here's a check for your dadgummed building fund. Now, get off my back." As the preacher walks away, check in hand, he thinks to himself, "Of course, a grumpy giver is nothing to sneeze at." You know, we should all be happy about being stewards of all that God has made. Stewardship is at the heart of the Christian life because, as the letter of James declares, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming from the Father of lights. And John the Baptist said, "No one can receive anything unless it is given from heaven." The New Testament letter to the Colossians contains this little nugget that summarizes how our commitment to following the example of Jesus should be seen in our daily lives. Colossians says, "As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." In other words, a Christ-like life should fill you. It should overtake you. Christ-like behavior should not be something that you put on only when it's useful or expected. That's captured in a little cartoon that focuses on a pastor, but it could apply to any of us. The pastor walks into his house and gruffly says to his wife, "Am I glad to be home? I'm sick to death of having to go around being pleasant to everybody." But remember, no, the Bible says we clothe ourselves, fill ourselves with Christ. And then, with a caption reading, "How ministers know who dozed off." I have a cartoon depicting a man greeting the pastor after the service. The guy says to the pastor, "Great sermon. Especially the part where the giant toast tells me to stop flying around the room because I'm late for my chemistry final exam." Actually, sounds like one of my dreams. You know, it's an old joke about people falling asleep in church, though I myself have never seen it. But did you know that there's a story in the Bible about someone falling asleep in church? Check out Acts chapter 20. One Sunday, the Apostle Paul has a lot to say. He preached until midnight. Midnight! A young man at the service named Eutychus was sitting on the windowsill, and because of the length of the message and the lateness of the hour and the smoke from the oil lamps, Eutychus dozed off and fell out the window. Now, he was okay. Maybe that's how he got his name, Eutychus, which in Greek means fortunate. The first Sunday that I'm not here, the Reverend Sharon Corr will be leading worship. Like me, Sharon has been a pastor of churches. Now she's the head of the presbytery, working with all of our presbytery's congregations and their pastors. From her experience with working with other churches entering times of transition, I'm sure she'll have some words of comfort and hope and encouragement. I'm also sure you won't give her the kind of welcome depicted in a cartoon that might remind you of your days as a schoolboy or schoolgirl. The cartoon depicts a worshiper in a crowded church who whispers to the person sitting next to him in the pew, "The minister's a sub, so we're all going to sing the wrong hymn. Pass it on." I'm guessing that one of Sharon's topics will be what's captured in a cartoon of a parishioner greeting his minister after the service. He says to his pastor, "Great message on the church's need to change with the times. For a minute there, I thought you were talking about our church." You know, change is hard. Change is scary. It's easier to remember how things were than to imagine how things can be. In the book of Exodus, the Israelites who have fled Egypt to journey through the wilderness began to have second thoughts because life wasn't the same. Frankly, some things were harder. They complained, "We wish that the Lord had killed us in Egypt. There we could at least sit down and eat meat and as much other food as we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve us all to death." A little bit later, they camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there to drink, and they complained to Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Remember, their long and challenging journey resulted in their arrival at a place they couldn't imagine when they first set out, a promised land of milk and honey. Along the way, they were changed. They became a people, a nation. They found out who they were. And that's the opportunity that awaits this congregation as you move beyond my retirement from this pastorate next month. One final cartoon. A couple in a remote cabin is surprised to be greeted by a park ranger who's been flown in by helicopter. He says, "Sorry to interrupt your retirement, folks, but your congregation has called 28 times because they can't find the communion cups." Separation is going to have its challenges for my wife Mary and me, as well as for you. A Presbyterian policy developed in order to promote healthy pastoral transitions will have me staying away from this church for at least a year. As much as many of us have worked to, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's to make for a smooth transition, inevitably there will be bumps in the road. But you'll handle it. You've done it before. I remember 20 years ago when I was away on sabbatical, you visited the sick, you welcomed newcomers, you led worship, you handled the church's business and staffing changes, and how many funerals did you handle in those 3 months? You've covered my vacations. You'll handle this. You'll handle this with grace and, I hope, with a touch of humor. You'll embody the words of Psalm 126. "Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. And then it was said among the peoples, 'The Lord has done great things for them.'" Amen.